not only will he show us that's what he wants, but he will be provision once we do it. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm peaceful again. I'm like, oh yeah, freedom. That's exactly what this is about. This is about the uncomfortable journey to letting go of control and then experiencing freedom on the other side. Just be like, yeah, it's kind of nice to feel like someone else is in control, because it's exhausting to be the boss all the time. It's exhausting because then you feel like you have to always get it right. And guess what? You don't.
Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we finish our series on the book of Galatians, and we're applying what it means to have freedom in Christ. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Galatians in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right corner to follow us for inspiration daily from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
We would say because life gets more complicated, right? But
we make it complicated.
That's right.
And that's what I'm like, it's not complicated. Let's stop this. I'm guilty. I make it complicated.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. It's like getting in my way. I'm bumping into myself all the time.
Yeah.
I agree with your childlike stance. You know, when you step back and say, I'm not the parent here, God is.
Mm-hmm.
It is so liberating to just say, I don't have to control what's going on.
You want
to
jump in puddles and jump in piles of leaves and sing in the rain and not care because it's okay.
This week I've experienced that. I experience it over and over and over again. I stopped at Marilyn's house in a frenzy and just feeling a lot of weight about what I felt were pretty, which are important decisions that we have to make as a ministry, important decisions we have to make as a family, and just feeling the weight of that, of like getting stuck in the place where I felt like I had to figure it out and not knowing what the answer was and really feeling uncomfortable with that. And Marilyn hugged me and sent me on my way with cheesecake. It was after I came home and I was like, what am I doing? I just need to like shove everything off my desk and open God's word and let him just bring peace to my heart because I don't have any peace right now. And then I was like, oh, right. Freedom. Because I don't have to know the answer. I don't have to know the path. I don't have to even know what the decision is because I got to tell you a little secret. It's a really big, big, big secret actually. You don't have to know the answers. God knows the answers. And you don't even have to, you don't even have to make all the decisions because if you abide with him and you're close to him, he is not going to hide those from you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I was like a, what are the, pigs dig up truffles with their nose, right? Like that's what I felt like. I was like digging and digging and digging and digging and snorting and digging and grunting. Trying to find
a beautiful display there.
Yeah, that's right. It's humility. I'm a pig. I do love truffles. But anyway, I felt like all this work, all this energy, really it was energy. My life, my day to day wasn't necessarily different, but it was like the mental energy that it was taxing me. And then I just like towards the end of this week, I'm like, whatever. This is God's, my whole life belongs to God. Mm. I'm in agreement with that. So wherever he takes us, like if he has this for us to take on, he will show us, not only will he show us that's what he wants, but he will be provision once we do it. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm peaceful again. I'm like, oh yeah, freedom. That's exactly what this is about. This is about the uncomfortable journey to letting go of control and then experiencing freedom on the other side. Just be like, yeah, it's kind of nice to feel like someone else is in control because it's exhausting to be the boss all the time. It's exhausting. Because then you feel like you have to always get it right. And guess what? You don't. And then there's the guilt and all of it. So for me, that resounded in particular this week. So freedom from having to control and know everything to resting and being peaceful that he knows and controls everything. And he's going to do a better job than I ever would. And so I'm not saying I'm just like blindly walking through my life with no purpose and assuming that God's going to tell me whether I should turn my dishwasher on or not. But what I'm saying is these big things that jam us up, he is in control. And I just wish and I pray that I keep getting better at that because it's so much better to sit in the peaceful place. And yet I find myself throwing myself back into a yoke of slavery over who's going to decide X, Y, Z. How are we going to whatever? God's got this. I may not look the way I want. I may not feel the way I want, but he loves me. His plans are good and I can trust them. Do you guys have more about that?
First thing that came to my mind was I gained a new perspective on what's truly important in life. I was, you can almost say, like worshiping false idols. I was putting so many other, I was putting everything, honestly, before my faith in God. So it was, whether it be, you know, having nice things, new things, you know, it was forgetting that things do not matter.
That's great.
So instead of living generously, I was keeping the purse tight. You know, I was using my resources in the wrong way. And it's one of those, you know, it's one of those things that I personally constantly need that reminder, because it's so easy, because the rest of the world, or not everyone, but it's on TV, magazines, anything you look at, it's chasing the next best thing. Who can one up the next person? Who has what kids are going to, like the fanciest camps and the most expensive schools and having the newest clothes? And it's hard not to get caught up in that. And it's something I struggle with constantly. But for the first time, when I had that realization, like, these things are not what life is about. This is not what's important. It was very freeing to finally say, like, you know what? It's okay if I don't live in a mansion. It's okay if I don't have as nice of things as this person has or this person has, because it's just okay that I am choosing to put importance on something else.
Yep. But it's true.
It's so true.
And I think that's really also easy to get pulled back. That's not also a faith. That's just a maturity that it takes time.
No, some people don't ever get there.
This is right. It's so true. And that is...
Yeah, it's so good though. But I love what you said. It is freeing.
It is freeing because you don't have to worry.
You're like, whatever.
Yeah, like I have the same.
Yeah, we got it at the thrift store.
Yeah, and that's. I have a girlfriend who has the cutest workout clothes, and she gets them over at a thrift store. And
yeah, that is freeing because you're out of the hamster wheel. Because it doesn't matter how much you have or how much you do.
Well, it's accepting too.
That there's always going to be someone who has more. So it's a hamster wheel.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And just when you obtain one thing and you think that's enough, it's no longer enough. And then you go after the next thing and whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's just,
hey, what
it
about,
will never end.
How does that look in the church? Do we compare ourselves inside the church in a different way that's also wrong?
I think we're more judgmental in the church.
Sometimes.
I think more critical of people who are, if we don't know.
Yeah. But specifically, what about this, would you ever, or could you see somebody ever comparing gifts? Oh, I wish I had that gift, but I have no gifts, or I have a different gift. Do you see what I'm driving at? Like,
I don't think I would see it. I mean, I think I see what you're saying, but in the church, I would love to sing. It's just not my gift. So I love listening to people who can, mm-hmm. and I'm not jealous of it.
Yeah. But can you see where some people would look even around the body of Christ and make different kinds of comparisons, not in materialism, but in spiritualism?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We can look at each other and say, well, I'd never do anything that immature.
Yeah.
Or I'd never, you know, even think of going there. I must be a better Christian.
Yep.
It's the judgmental stuff.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to compare yourself to others.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. So stupid. Because what fundamentally you indicate you forget is that you are every bit as much a mess as that person is. And they are every bit as much, no matter which side of it you're coming from. Maybe you're judging, or maybe you're feeling less than. Either way, you're forgetting that we are all sinners. No one is righteous. No, not one. It's easy to forget that. I just wanted to maybe turn that a little bit, because for sure what you're saying about material things and cultural stuff is really true. And I experienced that too. Early in my walk, I was like, oh, I like stuff.
Shoes. I like nice stuff.
Yeah. I think having kids helps out a lot too, because you think, okay, what would I pull out of the house that's burning? My kids. That's it. But then just wanted to open that up a little tiny bit. Yeah, I would, Marilyn. I would get the pets too. I heard you.
I said, sorry, Max.
but to extend that just a little bit, and let's just poke a little bit at ourselves inside the church, because I think we do that there too. We do that there too. His ministry is not as important as her ministry, or she's more active. She's been leading children's ministry for 20 years. She's a better Christian.
Well, I've been asked, so you're no longer doing this, that, or the other thing in the church. So what are you doing? Where are you serving? And I'm like, that's really none of your business.
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's about the heart behind it. It's about the heart behind it.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Because it could be someone who's saying in a judgmental way, or it could be someone who knows you really well. It's like, I know you, Maria.
Why aren't you doing anything here?
You don't know. Yeah. You don't not serve. Mm-hmm. So if I don't see you, you must be doing it somewhere else. So it's really the heart, right?
Right.
That's what I'm getting at. It's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people who have a lot who still have the right heart about mm-hmm. their stuff. Okay, I think we covered what we freed from and what we can be freed to. Did you have any personal experience or observation of others, freedom from and freedom to? I did write selfishness because that's mine. I'm really in a self versus God season right now. Like God's really showing me how that looks in relationship to him. And he's deepening my understanding of that right now in my personal time with him. And so obviously that's going to rise to the surface in my teaching. But I know there may be other observations you guys want to add.
Judgment of others, huge struggle. I don't want to. And I always consciously have to remind myself mm-hmm. too, especially with what's going on in our world right now. And you just see this incredible judgment of other people and these generalizations of what someone else is all about. And it's hard. Yeah. I mean, especially you turn on the news right now and you just see hate everywhere. And instead of me adding to it and then calling those people names, it's just remembering that, you know what, maybe they need to work through something in their own heart. Maybe mm-hmm. it's something that they're seeing in others that they see in themselves and they dislike about themselves. So that's how they're portraying it. So it is something I've come a long way on, mm-hmm. truth be told. I was the first one to judge other people for what they have or what they look like or what
how they behave.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's really taking that step back and reminding myself, like, I don't want to be judged and I do not like when others judge me. So I'm going to extend the same courtesy to someone else. And it's something that you constantly have to be humbled for yeah. and remember not to do that.
Habits.
Yeah.
It's hard to break habits. It's interesting because in chapter 6, Paul kind of shows us a little bit of the freedom too that we're talking about. And I just want to lift that out a little bit in 6, 9, and 10. He talks about a couple ways we can be freed too. And who has that?
I have Galatians 6, 9 through 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all and especially for those of the family of faith.
It's a freedom too, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you are freed from self stuff, then you can put others before yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's I just wanted to put that in as mm-hmm. a reminder of he's building to freedom from, freedom from, freedom from. And then in 6, he's like, you know what? Think of how you can be impactful if you could just get out of your own head mm-hmm. on all this and be freed to mm-hmm. freedom. This is the weird way that he expresses it. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. And what does that look like if I'm living a life freed by Christ? And I wish he had done more. I wish he had done more. Like, here are some of the things that you can be freed to do. But that's what we're doing. Life without anxiety. He does it in other books. Mm-hmm. Timothy, 2 Timothy, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That's freedom to a place of mental peace, right? He says in other books, God prepared good works for you to do in this time. Freedom to do good things, to not be in your own head, to not be jammed up by the law, to cast all those shackles off and say, I'm free to live a life, the abundant life that Jesus described, and a life that's filled with joy. And then that joy pours out and I can give it to other people. Are there more actions that you can think of that are expressions of our freedom in Christ? Like, what does that look like when you're fully seeing someone or feeling yourself, I said it a little bit, freedom in Christ, what does that look like in the world? Like, what behavior?
I think persistence is required.
What do you mean?
Well, I think because he says, do not grow weary in doing what is right. So don't look for people to notice it. Just keep doing it and know that the harvest will come.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to say that Greg is a great reminder of that. I will say that I like the scales to be balanced in life, which is wrong because the scales are out of balance in my salvation. I do remember that. But when I do something for somebody and then I feel like they're just taking, And I don't do because I want them to give back, but I must, because it bothers me when they don't say thank you. If someone doesn't say thank you, that is like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm like, it's two words. Say thank you. And Greg is really good at reminding me that's not why you do it. You don't do it for them. You do it as unto Christ. Mm-hmm. And everything you do to the least of these, you've done for him. And so he already thanked you with the cross. Mm-hmm. So hello, what more thanks do you need? He did it in advance. He thanked you before you even did these things. And so you can spend your whole life doing for others and never, the scales will never mm-hmm. balance. And so he's really good at reminding me of that. But I have I struggle with that. So to me, that is a freedom struggle for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I just think a lot of this is, you just think of yourself as the parent, God as our parent and our children, the behavior we are modeling and how they are. I was just doing this last night. Why can't they just do what they know they should do? But I'm not doing it because I want them to be a certain way. They need to be who they are. And that's really hard for me.
Yeah.
But I also have to remember that I'm, like you said, doing things for God, not for them.
Yeah.
And I have to be persistent and not grow tired, yeah. even though they're not going to go out and walk the dog because yeah. they promised me that they would.
Yeah. So the persistence is hard. I mean, can I just say that's a Holy Spirit thing?
It is.
I will grow weary. Well, but by the Holy Spirit, I can keep persisting. Yeah. It is only by God's Holy Spirit that I can persist. Let's just be clear. Mm-hmm. There's no way in my humanness I can persist in these things. I just can't.
And that's where I'm like, okay, God, they are yours. I'm here to guide them. And I just pray that they forget all the bad and that they
just take in the good.
In the good.
Yeah.
And that they will do what's right.
Yeah. For sure in the parenting experience. But I'm even talking about like in my neighborhood.
Mm.
Greg is always doing stuff for people. And so funny, I actually get more snippy when people don't appreciate him. And Greg is always with a smile, goes over and helps. That boggles my mind. And I get snippy on his behalf. I'm like, they never do anything for you. You're always helping them. He's like, yep, I can help. So I do. It really is just that simple. And that's hard for me. So he's a good role model for me. But the persistence, and he teaches our kids that too. He's like, you don't do it. Mm-hmm. For the accolades, you don't do it for the, now he's even going to be mad because I'm giving him accolades on this program, but that's the right thing, not to become weary in doing good.
And then he goes on to say, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all.
Yeah.
It's for the good of all. Mm-hmm. It's not for one or the other, for mm-hmm. me or you.
I like that Paul adds, especially to those who belong to the family mm-hmm. of believers, we have an obligation to ourselves. The old expression, charity begins at home.
Yeah.
As the family of faith, we have an obligation to see that our family is taken care of also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. You mean our church family?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do too. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
They're our family.
Yep.
I mean, I just was saying that to my son last night. I'm like, they are our family.
Thank God for church family.
I never had a church family before until recently. And so I didn't know what it was about. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We were in a really bad situation financially with my husband, and they were on strike and it wasn't ending. And I was in tears whenever it was bought up because it was pure fear. We didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, people just wrap their arms around us and take care of us. And it wasn't asked for and it wasn't expected. I've never experienced generosity like that ever before in my life, besides from family members. And for the first time, I saw what it was like to actually be a part of a church family and be so loved mm-hmm. and cared for. And it was right when my pastor was doing a series on generosity. So mm-hmm. I was gritting my teeth during the series, listening to it as we are in this situation where it's like, be generous to others. We're lucky to figure out how we're paying our bills and doing everything else right now. And then right when I was really at like my lowest and having mm-hmm. the hardest time, all of a sudden I experience it firsthand what it looks like. And mm-hmm. it was a gift from God. It was mm-hmm. the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was eye-opening. Mm. It was exactly what I needed to be like, aha, I get it now. Like it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A while back, we had a ministry. A need became clear to us. And so as a ministry, just as a board, we stepped in and we helped out. It's not important how. And the woman that we helped was effusive with gratitude. And I said, we just followed Jesus to your door. And that's what that is. That is the best expression of the love of Christ. We didn't do this for you. We just followed Jesus and he led us to you because you had a need and we were behind him. And so if you're not part of a church family, get in on that. So any more that we want to talk about? I have in the discussion guide some ways we still need, are there any ways you still need to experience freedom in Christ? But I think we kind of talked about that, so I'm going to let that lie. As we launch from here, just pray over the ways that you think you could probably still be working out some freedom in Christ. If there are ways, as you think about this, as you pray about it, as you read the book of Galatians, God will lift up for you ways that he wants to set you free and ways that he sees you being bound still, and he's, that's not his heart for you. And so pray over that and ask him to show you what freedom in that area would look like and ask him to walk with you on the path to that freedom. Because that's what he wants. Jesus said that's what he wants, to give you the abundant life. We know that that's what God wants for us. He wants to give us peace and joy and faithfulness and self-control and all the fruit of the Spirit that lives inside us when we invite his Son into our heart. And so as you read through Galatians, and I hope that you will go and read it and absorb it in a different way than we've even done. Share with us, share with us, share with us. Pray over the ways that God wants to free you, even right now, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk. You could be brand new. You could be 50 years in. There is still freedom you can experience in Jesus Christ, and go get it. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it hold you back from an intimate relationship, because there's always, Jesus is always calling us deeper, deeper, deeper. You'll never find the bottom of that well. So let's close in prayer and we'll break. God, thank you for the endless love that you have for us. It's mind-blowing. We cannot wrap our tiny little human brains around what freedom, complete freedom in you looks like, but we know that's your heart for us. And so I ask that you would take each one of us from wherever we are right now, just another step forward into the freedom that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe it's that we haven't yet put our trust in you, Lord, and in your Son. If that's the case, Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart that accepts you. God, that if there's anyone listening who doesn't understand this freedom in Christ in a fundamental way, Lord, I just ask that you would be with them and teach them and show them that you so love the world, that you gave your Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God, we just lift up anyone in the sound of our voice that would need to hear that today, God. And thank you that you have done that for each and every one of us, and that you don't just leave us where we are when you come into our hearts that day. You don't just leave us in that state. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us alone in that state of mess, but that you walk with us patiently and mercifully and with all the grace to create in us a new being, a new creature through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God. There's no way we can thank you for that. So we just ask you to continue walking with us all, even as we leave this place. Teach us what freedom in you really looks like and help us to live free, because the price your Son paid is too much for us not to experience that freedom. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not quite ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. Please consider prayerfully to help us financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.